Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. Lots going on in the show today. We have Jeff Kelm from the National Walleye Tour. He's the director. We're going to talk a little bit about some things going on as far as regulations and the all the trials and tribulations and gates they have to go through to get the tour at various locations. We're going to talk about some of the modifications they've had to make this year, that and some of the details going on in the tour. And we're also going to talk, I'm sorry, you can't fix stupid. It's going to come up right after the break. It is, I think we all be surprised at how crazy this is. So stay tuned for that and more when we return. Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference.
Good to see you, Ava.
It's good to be seen.
Donald?
Yeah, good to be back.
It's good to have you in studio. You're out gallivanting out the SHOT Show.
Yes.
We missed you.
You know, it was weather kind of like this. It's pretty nice.
Pretty nice.
Yeah, it was nice to come back to more nice.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah, I know.
I'm trying not to end the ski season. A lot of ice fishermen out there are trying to, I don't know what. You got to be really careful right now. I will tell you that. People think that the ice is going to be okay, and it's deteriorating rapidly.
Well, I tell you, I was just today, I was down to, in our community, it's called Bay Point Park. And I was just to see what kind of condition the Mississippi River was in. And I mean, it was just like glass. It's open. And then I was doing something, reading some emails on my phone. And I looked back out there, and there's a slab of ice going by, size of a half a city block.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, that's going to run into something somewhere this early in the year. It seemed pretty strange.
They'll start to go neutrally buoyant, so they'll have water
on top of it.
And in a calm day like that, it's difficult to tell when you're running or if there's waves over the top.
Yeah, I did not see a boat out there. There was not a movement on the water. It was just like a mirror.
I don't think you can yet. I mean, there's some. I think Everett's on the river here in Red Wing had just either going to or was going to, was in process of or were thinking about going to. But if you plan to go on the river, please call Everett's beforehand. Find out if they're going to be opening, if you plan on coming to Red Wing. I know it's one of the few places.
It's the only place you can drop your boat in right now.
And, keep that in mind when you're coming down to go do some fishing. So I kind of teased it at the beginning of the show. We talked about you can't fix stupid.
Yeah, and I asked you, why did you look at me when you said that?
We did talk to me off air, and I said we used to have a spot called Things That Make You Go,
Yeah.
Well, this blows that out of the water.
Okay.
This is out of Wisconsin. Wisconsin hunter used poison to protect deer bait from rodents.
Say that again.
Let's go through the story. Leasing land, preparing to hunt for the 2023 season, and not seeing enough deer doesn't grant anyone permission to set up multiple bait sites and protect apples and corn from rodents by setting out poison. That's what Wisconsin DNR found when he followed up on information from a hotline call during the gun deer season this last year. Baiting's not permitted in the county, and for much of the time, chronic wasting disease has been known to exist in Wisconsin. So obviously they're come hand in hand. You don't bait, you don't want deer getting close to each other. The caller put the DNR right on track with good information. The absentee landowner who leased the land for hunting was not aware of the baiting nor the poison, and that this particular subject had put by one of the bait sites to keep rodents from eating the corn. They said it was pretty much a cut and dried case when they observed multiple bait sites and poison. They contacted the landowner who helped the wardens contact the persons leasing that particular land. The subject contacted by the wardens was cooperative, made the case simple. Obviously, it was a clear violation, and fines were about $350. It could accelerate up to $700, and of course, it can get to the point where you can lose hunting and fishing and trapping privileges. But I was very surprised on this. He said if it weren't for the public, many of the baiting and feeding situations would likely not be investigated, and they got full cooperation on it. He said feeding bans are in place, partly to help reduce the spread of CWD. And he said that if one person baits at a site, it can have an impact on that person's neighbors because the deer can be pulled from natural vegetation. And I'm blown away. And the part about this, too, is you have to clean, once it's found to be a bait site, it has to be cleaned up. Every single piece, every kernel, no leftover, and they have 10 days to get that taken care of, a waiting period, and usually it's done on a honor system. But if they come back and check at that point and it's still in violation, then they will impose a stiffer penalty. But, Don, you can't fix that. I mean, that's just stupid. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I mean, first of all, you're not supposed to bait to begin with, right?
Yeah.
So now you're trying to protect the deer or the bait from getting eaten by rodents by putting out poison? That's the game plan here?
That's the game plan, Don.
Oh, my.
You know, how would you... I have no remote understanding of how anybody could think that's a good idea. Can you?
Well, no, but I'm wondering if... could the deer get into the poison? Yeah? I mean, I don't know what he set out, but...
Well, it doesn't really matter if you're putting the poison close enough to the pile, eventually the deer might think, "Hey."
I kind of even think further down the road because it could affect other wildlife too. Because if you had rodents that get poison, now they're not a healthy.
Coyotes eat the rodent, etc. And the
eagles eat the rodents. I mean, there's all kinds of the environment that you can mess with here. The natural world.
That in my mind, is that not one of the ultimates in?
Yeah, well, it's
can't fix stupid.
I hate to ask, what part of Wisconsin was that in?
We
don't need to say that.
We don't need to specify.
Okay.
In my mind, we don't need to.
We'll say the Midwest.
Yeah, but the other thing is that baiting has been illegal. Been illegal. That's not even, and then put poison by the bait.
Yeah. No, I don't get it.
I'm fully at a loss.
Yeah.
I really am.
Excited.
I'm excited for our next guest.
We've
got Jeff Kelm coming on. He's from the National Wildlife Tour. He's the director. We're going to get into some tough questions that he's willing to come on and answer for us. So that'll be good. So hang tight. Stay tuned. Valley Outdoors coming right up. Good to have you guys back. You're still hanging in there. And, of course, we'd like to have you check us out. Where, Don?
TheValleyOutdoors.com.
And Ava?
Facebook, too.
I've got these guys trained. And you guys are awesome.
Oh, after 10 years.
I know.
10 years, we finally figured it out.
And usually when I flip-flop it, you know, you still maintain okay.
Yeah.
Occasionally I can catch Ava off guard.
I know to pay attention right there every time, just in case.
You only get
case.
Caught once and then it's like not going to happen again. Is that what you're saying?
Pretty much.
Exactly. Well, we're great guest coming right up. Jeff Kelm, he's the director of the National Walleye Tour. And they've had a fair amount of changes going on this year, and they've done some announcing of different dates and different regulations that came about from last year and contacting with DNRs, et cetera. And Jeff, thanks for coming on. The tournament director role is, as I've talked with you beforehand, is rather thankless, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, yeah, nobody's writing me Christmas cards or anything like that, but no. but that's okay.
Yeah, nobody's saying, hey, great job at the weigh-in. This is fantastic. Great job. It's like, nope, that's the way it's supposed to go. There you have it, right?
That's right. And you know what? I got a great team that helps make it happen too. So.
Yeah, you do have a good team. That's a big thing, especially at the intricacies that go on between morning takeoff, checking live wells, to coming back, bump tank, verifying, you know, all the key pieces that come in. And depending on the fishery, it can change as well, which really kind of rolls us into some of the changes that have come up from past years. And, you know, the tour consists of 5 events this year, correct?
Correct.
And you've got several different locations. I believe it's Erie, then it goes Red Wing. I think, is it Green Bay? Yeah.
And then
Sakakawea.
And then we end up the season over on Saginaw Bay, Lake Huron, north side of Saginaw Bay, and Lake Huron in Oscoda, Michigan.
Yep. Beautiful. I fished all of those in the tour. But, you know, so it comes in each regulation, just to fill people in. Regulations and tournaments are different. They comply with the local events for the most part, and generally are going to be more restrictive. So it's kind of funny when people go out to watch, they're seeing a tournament and all these boats going out there. It's like, these guys are catching all these fish. But it's really a limit for the boat is a one-person limit is generally the concept, no matter where you go. It's not like you're going to come in with 3-person limits or 2-person limits. It's a 1-person limit, and those are also worked. All the anglers work very hard to keep them alive if that event is in a catch and release status with the DNR. So leads me into, you've got Red Wing coming up and some changes that came up this year. And I don't know, we talked before you guys had a meeting and you had a little meeting regarding what was going to happen with Red Wing. And originally, fill us in, I know you were going to be fishing Minnesota side only. And it was up to pool 3 and 4. And that made it difficult. A lot of guys had some questions about that. But I'll hand it over to you on what, if anything, has changed and what the regulations are, really, and how that came about.
Yeah, thanks, Eric. And you know, these regulations, we try to work hand in hand with each one of the DNRs that we need to come in contact with. And when we work with border waters, we try to stay in contact with both sides of the border as best as possible. And, you know, just in general, some people are better at communication than others. I'm sure we've all run into that. But in this particular case, off of feedback we took through the 2023 season from NWT Anglers, we set off to make it, I guess, a little bit more of, I would say, black and white is what the anglers really continue to use as their suggestions through the course of the year. They wanted something where if they looked at a fact sheet or a rule, there was nothing up for
nothing ambiguous
of somebody else. Yeah, outside of the event. And so when we looked at Red Wing, we really had a couple of different directions to go. If you wanted it black and white, and some of that was in terms of like party fishing, who caught what fish, any kind of culling or anything like that. And those rules are all different between Minnesota and Wisconsin. And for the general angler out there, it's likely confusing enough. If you were stopped by a conservation officer on the Minnesota side, he'd be asking you questions. He or she would be asking questions about, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And if you were stopped on the Wisconsin side, they may have a different set of questions, because although they may have the same size limit and you may be only able to keep 4 fish on either side, in those particular pools, there are still different rules that pertain when you divide that river in half. And so when we set out for a tournament, when anglers are asking for black and white, it was very clear that we needed to do something that was going to be definitive like that. And so originally, as we're sitting down and talking about fact sheets and how we were going to set this tournament up, we had the option of going with Minnesota waters only. But keeping it Minnesota waters only would allow anglers to, have a Minnesota license, would allow them to fish the Minnesota side of the river. With a Minnesota license, you could still fish the upper portion of Pool 3. You could fish within underneath any of the train trestles, things like that, as long as you had that with the Minnesota license. You would also be allowed to party fish. You'd also be allowed to cull, although they don't call it culling in Minnesota. Culling is technically illegal. You are able to switch out fish as long as you have not
filled your limit
or daily bag limit.
Yep.
Essentially, it's being able to replace fish throughout the day as long as you hadn't hit that limit. And along with being able to practice switching out fish and party fishing, bringing five fish to the stage was no problem. Bringing two over 20 inches was no problem. We thought, okay, the restriction was you only get half the river. But I think anglers will be, satisfied with this because it's black and white clear. You're only dealing with one side. And we took a lot of feedback on that, which we anticipated taking, quite honestly. It was enough feedback, though, that through our team of review, through Outdoor Teamworks and us at Federation Angler, we sat down and thought, okay, is this something that is going to inhibit maybe local anglers or maybe traveling anglers? Is it going to affect the numbers for the event? Well, perhaps. We didn't really know. In fact, I've taken feedback both ways even since we've made a change. So it's very... you probably could have shotgunned just about anything you wanted to over there and wouldn't have been,
right,
totally happy on either side. And so that's what it was set when we released the fact sheets at the beginning of the year. We had made a change to the fact sheet that states that the Wisconsin and Minnesota waters are open. In fact, all waters you can float your boat to from pools 3 and 4 are open, minus the St. Croix River at the Prescott Bridge, the Highway 10 bridge.
Correct.
But it'll require you to have both a Wisconsin and a Minnesota fishing license.
Yep.
And then that way, again, you can, if there's an access, that you want to try to get under a train trestle somewhere, you would technically be interior waters to one place or another, but you would have a license, an appropriate license for either place you're fishing, any place you're fishing. The other side of it is we've dropped it down to 4 fish. So that's the Wisconsin side as well as the Minnesota, but Wisconsin side's 4 fish, no culling, no party fishing. And then 1 fish per boat over 20 inches per day. Again, that becomes a one person limit. We're not worried about party fishing. There's no conversation of, who caught what fish, was a fish replaced by, somebody else's fish, that type of thing.
Yep.
You're only worried about a one-person limit. So once that 4th fish goes in the box, you're done fishing for the day. You can find your way back to the weigh-in, and we'll weigh you in.
Perfect. That's a huge deal. And what's kind of cool is we get to break that first here. I've told a lot of people about this, and I tell you, I'm excited for that. It's going to change the people that are looking at this fishery to go fishing, and I think it's a pretty awesome direction you took, Don. What do you think?
No, I think it's for the best.
I think the other thing is navigating the rules you guys have are negotiate and navigate at the same time is a difficult story at best. I appreciate that aspect. I think you're going to have a lot of pleased anglers that wanted to sign up for the event, and they're not going to have to worry about what is the middle of the river, because that's the other part that comes up, Jeff. I think you and I talked about it off air. Mm-hmm. We've got 3 different methods of where is the middle of the river. You've got a state map that's drawn up. You have, well, it's actually four. You'll have Garmin, you'll have Hummingbird, and you'll have Lowrance graphs, and they all have a different chip that will show a different point at the center of the river. And that's where that sure. also gets to be extremely difficult. So I think this is a step in the right direction. I think that's fantastic. I can't say any more about it other than that. That's awesome, fantastic, and congratulations on that. That's going to be a big deal for you guys. So first thing, now Red Wing is set. You got that coming up. Next one is Green Bay, and I saw this because I figured I'd research it, and I was very surprised at this. But three fish on Green Bay is all you're allowed to have. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes.
Fill me in. This is yeah. First, I was blown away when I heard three fish for fishing Green Bay. That's it.
Sure. So, again, this comes down to Wisconsin and their permit. You know, most people do not apply for a fishing permit, so they probably wouldn't be aware that on the Bay of Green Bay in Wisconsin, between the second Saturday of June to be exact, and the first Saturday of September, it is a three fish per angler limit in a permitted fishing tournament, walleye
right.
Tournament. And so, I've seen already a lot of stuff online. Well, you know, why is it three when you can have five? Why is it three when you can have five? If you weren't fishing a tournament, you could go out there, you can have your five. In the permitted tournament, it is a three fish per angler. And the same set of rules that we're looking at for the Red Wing event, being, you know, we're taking the Wisconsin rules, so we're worried about the party fishing thing. And we've got very cooperative conservation officers all across the lands that we participate in these events in, and talking with the CEO over in the Oconto, Wisconsin area, he was very clear that he's not going to take the party fishing stuff as laying down, in a sense. I mean, he laid it very clearly that he's not looking at somebody setting a rod on a jig stick and then handing the rod off, and that's all of a sudden the other person's other person's fish. He's very clear that party fishing is not allowed, and so we're going to make sure we adhere to that. That keeps us at the three fish mark for that event as well. There's no culling in Wisconsin. We're going out of Wisconsin. Anglers have the choice to go up into Michigan waters if they choose to, again, following the Wisconsin rules. So we're never worried about party fishing in Michigan or anything like that as well. So it's a three fish limit because that's a one person limit for a permitted fishing tournament at that time of year.
That's unfortunate because it's a great fishery and I think a lot of people like to go out and do that. And unfortunately, that favors the forward facing sonar, which has been a big controversy. That's a big favor to those guys because they'll only be able to target. Generally, you can get maybe two or three fish in a given tournament, and it really swings to those guys on that type of an event. So that's a bummer. And, you know, the party fishing thing has never come up in the 25 years that I've been fishing tournaments. And the rules haven't really, on that aspect, haven't changed. I know for in the last 5 years to 7 years hasn't changed. It's always been there. And so the tough question comes in. It seems as though last year with some difficulties that you had with a couple situations on tour, that seems to have raised its ugly head and really caused that whole thing to kind of step into the limelight. Would I be on target with that?
Yeah, I mean, it stemmed originally from a question prior to the Lake Winnebago event, and mostly because Lake Winnebago is also a three fish per angler limit in the state of Wisconsin. It is one of the few places that typically we run into that issue. And so when that question was raised about how that is handled, a call went out to CEO, conservation officer in that area. Conferenced with other tournament directors that run other events on Lake Winnebago to be sure that we're all under the same, idea of what's going on, under the same pretense. And so that's where this kind of all really stemmed from, is that the pro and co type of events, the individual anglers do not see themselves as a team. And it was made very clear to me that the anglers don't look at themselves as having the opportunity to really work out the logistics of how is this going to work over the course of the next 2 days. I mean, and I don't, it's not any of their fault. We draw a random draw for a co-angler and a pro. You may not know their aptitude, their capability. And so you end up getting a guy the night before, and you're like, I don't even know if this person knows how to hold a spinning reel or how
had
to do
that
anything.
Been there, done that. I had one guy hold his rod upside down and said, how do you operate this thing? And I went, well, I guess I'm giving you a bobber and I'll be casting for most of the day. Or here's a box of baits that I really don't care to have. And that was at Devil's Lake. Needless to say, I came back that day, no baits left, but he was participating as best he could. So, yeah.
Sure. So that's a hard concept. So.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And Jeff, I appreciate you going longer with us today than we originally hoped to go, but a lot of good stuff. And I'd love to be able to get you on again. We'll talk about more detail on this and really kind of delve into some of the things that are going on with the event itself. But thanks enough. I really can't thank you enough for coming on here and give us the details. So appreciate that.
No problem.
You bet. Be good.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
You bet. Well, that's the Valley Outdoors, guys. Certainly appreciate that. Thanks, Jeff Kelm from the NWT for that. Thanks, Don, Ava. You guys are awesome. We are the Valley Outdoors, and have a great weekend. We are out of here.